Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, March 28th. Can we have roll call, please?
Member King.
Here.
Member Iman.
Here.
Member Brown.
Here.
Member DeGasis is absent. Member Clinton.
Present.
Member Whalen.
Here.
And Chair Branch.
Here. And now we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips on that, or do we have anybody raising their hand online?
I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. And I do not see any hands raised at this time.
All right. Then we will go to our administrative agenda and review of agenda. Mary?
Good afternoon, Chair and members. No changes on the agenda today.
All right, then we will go to our first item, the review and approval of the Design Review Board minutes for January 24th. Does anybody have any edits that they'd like to make to the minutes? None?
I have reviewed them and will make a motion to approve.
I second.
Great. Any discussion? All those in favor with roll call, please.
Okay.
Aye.
We're going to do a roll call vote. So, Member King?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Brown? Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. That will take us to our conceptual calendar. We read the Item B1 into the record, please.
Item B1, 370 Stark Road, APN 073-100-008. Fuel depot signage with California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption utilizing section 15311.
Very good. And I am going to have to recuse on this project as the applicant is a client of mine.
So in assuming the chair's role, I would ask the proponent to come to the dais. And while they are checking in, I'll ask for declarations from the board members.
No visitation, no ex parte.
Please turn on the microphone,
please.
I spoke to the applicant today, and I previously made a site visit. Actually, over the years, I've made a couple site visits. Thank you.
No recent site visit, no ex parte.
So no new site visit, no ex parte, but I am very familiar.
And I have made a site visit and had no ex parte discussions, so. Let's see, I believe we had our staff presentation.
Yes, yes, Mr. Whalen, I am covering for Christina. This is her project, but I will present it. She's on vacation. So we have a sign here that's basically getting refaced. I think everyone knows where the Zizzo sign is on Stork Road. It's getting refaced to a fuel depot gas station sign with a digital signage for the prices. And this is a pole sign, which is typically in our new regulations, Title 17, is not an approved, not allowable, but it is an existing legal nonconforming, which can be refaced. So that's what they're coming forward with. There is a secondary signage below, which is the self-serve car wash signage, which is not getting altered. And again, the change is to reface the proposed upper cabinet. And with that, it does meet the current Title 17 signage regulations. So I think I'll let Mr. Morris, sign designer, take it from here.
Thanks, Mary. And thanks for getting us back on the agenda so quickly.
Please,
Dan Morris for Freedom Signs, sorry, and Joan Price, the owner. And Mary summed it up. We have an existing pole sign and with two cabinets, and we're only looking to change the top cabinet and reface it from the Zizzo sign to changeable gas station signage. And you have a set of plans there if you want to see them in paper, but I think you have an electronic copy.
Just one type of fuel for another.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else, Mr. Price, you want to add to it? I'll ask the clerk for public comments, either in person or online. Blake?
I do not have any speaker slips, but if any attendees on the Zoom webinar wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. And I am not seeing any hands raised at this time.
Very good. Then we'll turn to board questions and comments at the same time. Ms. Brown?
Thank you. Just thinking about this and some of Mr. Price's other fuel depot signs, it's interesting to me, even though there's changeable copy here, you don't change the copy that often. Is it once a day? Just out of curiosity. Whenever the prices, whenever they change. Okay. And also the pole itself is going to be, it's going to be a certain color. It's no color there. It's white. But what is the pole color?
Can you speak into the microphone?
Well, I just wondered if there was a planned color.
Really, well, I'd just leave it white. But
is it white or is it a metal color?
It's white.
It's white.
Oh, is it white? Okay.
I don't mind toning it down, though.
No. I was just curious because I saw it as white here, and I'm thinking I didn't see these.
Mr. Okay. Price, make sure your comments are for the public record into the microphone. Thank you.
I get nervous when I get
it. You should be on this side of the table. Other comments, questions from board members? Mr. Iman, Ms. Clinton?
My only question or comment was we're taking off the big lights.
Yep.
Okay. That's all. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Those lights.
Mr. King, anything? So, and I have none, so I'll call for a motion, please, from board members. Ms. Brown?
To approve the sign as submitted and with the SEPA findings and with the staff findings.
Is that sufficient?
Yeah.
And may I have a second?
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any need for the clerk to read this back? I don't believe.
Just for the vote, please.
I don't believe. Oh, sure. I meant to make there's questions and comments.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead. This is the time to comment on the motion.
Okay. You know, I've always appreciated the work that Mr. Price does because it's usually good quality and it reflects community values, and he's very open to listening to what the community has to say. And I think that's a really great combination with planners and community members and with the applicant himself. I've always hoped that for new gas stations, that monument signs would work. Because I think while these signs that Mr. Price has at his fuel depot, they're reminiscent of signs from the 50s. These pole signs are sort of relics, if you will. And I appreciate that they have a place. Those gas stations usually that are near or adjacent to the freeway, Summit Fairview, they have these pole signs, so travelers can see what the prices are, and I believe there's some federal regulations that require
state.
That. Yeah, state, okay. But I was hoping that maybe, because Mr. Price has done a lot of work here to improve his site, that a nice monument sign would be a little more tailored, a little less something from the past, and to have something more of the future. So that's my comment, and I talked to him earlier, and he says, well, I don't agree with you, but he didn't quite say it that way. But he was pretty generous in his comments, and I know that for another gas station, he hopes to make some other changes. So anyway, I was just hoping that maybe here, we could see that as well. Anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you. Well, where are we without hopes and dreams? May I call for a roll call vote, please, Mr. Clerk?
Member King?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Whalen?
Yes. So the vote passes. Thank you very much, Mr. King. So can we have our erstwhile chair return now? There he is.
See you in a few weeks.
You own that place by the Dutch Gardens?
I do.
I thought I saw your name on there.
Do you ever use this thing in the back?
Okay, our next item, B2, that could be read into the menu or into the record, please.
Item B2, 7127 Hollister Avenue, APN 073-440-012. The Plaza Overall Sign Plan Amendment with California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption utilizing Section 15311.
Very good. And let's start with declarations. Has everybody visited the site? Jim?
No visitation, no ex parte.
I haven't visited in a while, but I'm familiar with it, and no ex parte.
I have visited the site and no ex parte.
I'm very familiar with the site and no ex parte.
Very.
Jonathan?
You hang out at the DMV?
All the time, hours and hours.
Jonathan, ex parte?
Jonathan, I want...
I think I have to recuse
myself. Yes, that's correct. Thank you. And we still have a quorum for the record.
I'm staring at the address.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Adjacency.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Come back for the next item.
Cecilia?
Some time ago, I did a site visit and no ex parte.
Okay. Very good. Who's this? Oh, Travis. Travis, you here?
Yes. Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
Floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. The product before you today is the overall sign plan amendment for the Plaza Shopping Center. Near the intersection of Hollister and Santa Felicia. They have an existing sign plan, overall sign plan from like 2012, which designates the criteria for which they can design their signs and logos and fonts with in accordance with what the property owner wishes. And that way the tenants can, when the tenants change, they can change their signs in accordance with the criteria and not return to DRB. The applicant has proposed certain changes, including a new monument sign at the intersection of Santa Felicia and Hollister, refacing an existing pole sign, and a new directional sign, and new criteria as well. And I'll have the applicant go into further detail for that.
Is the applicant here?
Yep. Come on up, Jordan. Hey, Chair Branch and members, I just wanted to talk about the overall sign plan just a little bit more because it is a little different than typical signage that meets our sign code. So sign plans are typically for shopping centers or multi-tenant buildings, properties, and it gives a little bit of flexibility in the design, but the changes that are coming before you today still has to meet the our Title 17 sign regulations, with the exception that there's 10% more aggregate signage that you can gain for an overall sign plan, and monument signs can go from 4 feet to 6 feet under an overall sign plan. Those are the exceptions to the rules of the sign regulations. So I think Jordan's going to go over what the changes are.
Great. Press the button in front there to turn the green light on, and then state your name and
Jordan Shepherd with Signs of Success.
Very good. Proceed. You don't have to hold that. No.
Just push it.
As long as the green light's on, you're good to go.
Okay. I think I'll just line up on it. Does everyone hear me okay? Okay. Thank you so much. So, we're hoping to do a little bit of revitalization of the shopping center.
as you're familiar with it, has gone through some revitalization already. They've spent quite a bit of time repainting it, making it look a little bit more, you know, coastal Mediterranean modern, getting rid of some of the teal elements that they had in the design before. The letters were teal and the building was a different color. Now the building's white. Letters are mostly black across the whole complex. The signs are still allowed to be different colors, but the non-illuminated ones. So the shopping center in general, they did another site, One Mosaic, which is, I think is in considered county, but it's a similar style and look that they're going for. That was a multifamily site. So they have a certain aesthetic that they're trying to achieve that I think is really nicely in line with you know, the area. They're trying to beautify the area. So the main changes are just updates. So the directory, there's an old directory that was kind of never installed. And
do you know what page that's on?
This is on, in the 11 by 17 sheets, it would be third from last. That's attachment E. I'm sorry, attachment E. So this one's pretty straightforward. It's the same size as the original. It's just changing basically the look to make it a little bit more contemporary. And then the monument sign follows a similar. So this is not in the packet, but just, I know you guys are familiar with the site, but this is the current the current look of the monument. And then the new monument is going to follow, the post would be black, the frame would be repainted black, and the panel would be a black and white. So just a very nice matching up with the building nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And then the site has a Department of Motor Vehicles monument sign approved as part of it. Right now, we're proposing deleting that sign and then incorporating, that's this one right here. We're proposing deleting that one and then allowing room for other occupants, because the site, the way it's faced, doesn't face towards the main drag. So allowing other local businesses to be able to be represented on that sign as well. And again, a low profile, tasteful, as Mary said, within the restrictions of the sign program and the city's restrictions. So we have four major tenants there at the bottom, and then the other ones across the top in this design. So that's the major adjustments. We did clean up the drawings. They were getting a little bit hard to read, so we redrew some things, but there weren't really any major changes. And let me just look through them real quick and see if there's anything I should bring to your attention. I don't think there's really anything major within the pages themselves. We just added a little bit of clarification. For example, the state and land commission, I don't think it was represented in the original, and we added that in. That's on page, the Plaza Building 973116. So it has, we just brought in, like, for example, this side view that was missing from the original, very, very, because that particular tenant wasn't in the original elevation, just small things like that. And then we updated the language a little bit in the shopping center. For example, on page 2, it limited the font to Helvetica for lettering on the window, and we removed that requirement so they could use their own logo. That's just for, like, a small amount of lettering on their entry door to identify them and their hours, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We eliminated there was an item 13 in the general criteria that referred to tenants that are no longer there, so we cleaned that up. As per Travis asked us to take a few of those things out. We adjusted just with the plaza. This version of the plaza has the and plaza at the same size. We made plaza 48 inches tall now and the smaller, which I think aesthetically looked nicer than making the so big.
Yeah.
So that was adjusted in the text. We deleted the DMV monument and replaced it. So that's on page 3, item 2. We replaced that with a multi-tenant sign, so that was just a swap one for the other. Small changes at the directory. The only thing is that the text size changed slightly on that directory from 3 inches to 2 inches tall in the redesign. On the building logos, there was some wording that said that the logos, the text is supposed to be 12 inches tall, two lines of text, right, on the buildings. But then it said the logo should be 12 inches tall, which doesn't really allow for logos that look aesthetic. Like, for example, this is Jackson Medical Group. They have a logo right here, this little stethoscope. And so under the current code, this, it doesn't really, I think this one is grandfathered in, but this one, it doesn't really work well. So if you have two lines of text allowed at 12 inches tall, and the texts aren't going to be right against each other, so we allowed 4 inches of separation. So a logo next to the text would be like 28 inches tall would be the maximum height for the logo. So it just, so that they didn't have this little tiny logo next to the larger text. So that was just something, just kind of cleaning up. I had been doing reviews for the landlord of other sign companies proposing, and we kept running into that issue. And I said, well, it doesn't conform, but you know, when we go through the design review process, we can make that adjustment. Because I think there was something for, I think the Santa Barbara Fish Company, they were going in there, and they have very small text, and their logo is like a oval shape. And so for them, their logo would look like a postage stamp on the building. So,
okay.
We changed from dark teal to black for the building address sign, because that went with a repaint. And then we adjusted at the end. These are all the old tenants that were there, and we just adjusted to fit the new tenants. And that's, I think that's the end of the changes. Page 6, yeah.
Great. Do we have any public comment on this?
I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. And I am not seeing any hands raised at this time.
Okay. Then questions and or comments, Cecilia?
I have questions on some of, this may not have anything to do with what we're doing, but I'm just curious about the those who are permitted there currently. And this is on page 6, where you have Marines Officers Selection Office. Is this, these are United States Marines, right?
Yeah, I think I do. This
that's
is,
not the, that's oh, okay, that's one. But what about the other one that talks about Marines Officers Selection Office?
That's right next door. If you look behind the trees there.
And that's what it says, and that's what they want it to say. I mean,
it says Officers Selection Office, yeah, on the sign right there.
Oh, okay. The reason I ask about this is that I'm a retired naval officer, and Marines, they're called United States Marines is what they're called. So I'm a little confused by how they are portraying themselves here, but if that's what they want to call themselves, then that's what they want to call themselves. Then my other question has to do with the monument, the new monument sign you showed us, which I guess I'm not sure which it's way at the end. Oh, it's on page, I don't know, 19 of 22 on the tablet. Exhibit C.
Mm-hmm.
This new monument sign it just looks like it's a rectangle. There's no kind of surround that sort of frames the names.
I could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, could you? Because it just seems kind of plain here, and it looks like it might have some more.
Yes, I could speak to that. So
okay.
These The end caps there are so that you'd have the depth of the monument, right?
Right.
And then these end caps here are inset. So it's kind of
oh, they're inset.
It's like a reverse column. So it comes in and mm-hmm. and caps at the end. It's a little more modern look than like a big square column at the end. And then these are raised elements, these three lines at the bottom, which kind of gives it a nice base.
Yes.
And then these panels here will individually, they won't be flat. They'll each be raised off. And
oh, they'll be like pin mounted or something?
It's like a, they're, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So they'll just be flat? They'll just be flat to what they're on?
Yeah, each one's a fabricated box with the right. letters cut out and then backed with white.
And lights. These are lit up at night?
Lit from the inside. So the letters would light, but the background wouldn't light.
Right. It just seems to me like this big rectangle thing needs to be more formal. It looks pretty modern. It's just this square thing. And I'm just thinking of what I see at Kyriel Shopping Center, where the monument sign is a little fancier. Of course, it's a different style. But it just seems to me it needs to have a little more.
When I spoke with the client, the kind of clean, contemporary, right. Mediterranean look is what they were going after.
Right.
And we looked around town, and for example, the new Cottage Health that used to be Log Me and that, those signs there, I'm not sure if you're...
Where is that?
I think it's on Hollister as well.
Upper Hollister.
Okay.
So they're okay. The signage that they have there, which also kind of has this type of modern feel, kind of even like this building that we're in right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Karis, anything?
I just have one question, and this might be a silly question, but... I hear, see, on page 1, number 3, it says the sign area is established by drawing not more than 8 straight lines encompassing the extremity of the sign within the smallest possible area. I assume this to mean you're making a box around to be able to calculate the square footage.
That's
is that what you're saying?
That's 8 the box. I don't think that's not, lines? That's, I don't think that's something that we modified from the original.
3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
So 2 boxes.
Yeah. I didn't review that part for my comments because it wasn't a change from the original one. But that's pretty yeah. that's pretty common.
That only has 7. Yes. So you can have up to 8.
Yeah, because what will happen is sometimes you'll have like for example you'll have a spa and they'll have like a fancy S.
Yeah, I know.
And then they'll want to yeah. kind of. You know, if you were to just draw a big box, it would be like 3 times the square footage.
Right.
So they just want to, it allows for a little bit of artistic design.
Got it.
Yeah, no, I figured that's what it was for. I just thought it was kind of funny. Straight lines.
Yeah.
Dennis, any questions or comments?
I do. Let's see if I can make any sense of my notes here. On the drawings that were furnished to us, and I'm looking now at building C, spaces number 2 and 11, the west elevation. Many of the signs look cramped on the fascia. So my question is, in your guidelines, are there dimensions for space around the letters?
Yes.
Rather than just maximizing the letter size, there has to be some sort of breathability around that, which may reduce the size.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
Yeah, you see if you can find that. And another element that may be in there, is there a standard for just for the text being either left or right justified or centered? Or is that?
Oh, that would definitely not be something that we would specify, just because we are allowing logos, which people will have it every which way.
So that is not in there.
Yeah.
That's the answer to the question. Yeah, thank you.
But as far as the allowing an area for breathing room, there's definitely breathing room between the tenant spaces.
And I'm mostly concerned because of the examples I look at.
Yeah, those
they're on the top and bottom, say 3 to 4 inches between surrounding the text.
Yeah, the text that's placed on there is more of like an identification mark
yeah.
than the actual layout. just to show where the tenants currently are.
You can assure me that there is some element in your guidelines for that.
Yes, I don't.
I don't expect you to. Mm-hmm. And then to a more salient question, it appears that all of the signage is black and white. The original pole sign is green. That's going to black and white. Mm-hmm. Is the monument sign also going to black, white, or?
Black, white, and like a metal, silver.
Gray.
Yeah, there's also, they all have kind of a mid-tone, like, would be like a silver metallic. So
this is the one I'm looking at, Blake. So the directory mm-hmm. is black, white, and like a metallic gray.
Well, it's like a brushed aluminum tone.
Absence of color.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the building itself is painted that way, too.
Sure.
The tenants would be on the building. Their signs can be different colors. Like Albertsons would mm-hmm. have the blue, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, those are all my questions.
So just to answer the point there on wall signs, minor tenants, Part 3, Section E, the maximum sign area allowed not to exceed the lesser of 70 square feet or 1/8 of a square foot of the building facade of that portion occupied by the enterprise upon which the face of the wall is located. So basically, they can't have any more than 70 square feet or 1/8 of their frontage.
That still doesn't speak to allowances for
top and bottom to the band, the stucco bands and that kind of thing, negative space well, around the letters?
So the band height, I think, is 5. I can look it up. It's in here. But the letters could be a maximum of 28. So the band height is 5'7".
Oh, so they're in your max of 28. Oh, you're going to have plenty. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so you, okay. And that's then.
If
so
you're reassured, I'm reassured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'd have 12 inches, 12 inches, and that's maximum. A lot of people aren't going to, you know, have 12 inches, 12 inches. They'll have, you know, maybe 12 inches and 6 inches for like a subline of copy, or they'll just have one line of copy.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Jim, anything to add?
Yeah, I just have one comment, actually. I would hope that in any case where you have phone numbers on these signages, even whether it's temporary or permanent, that the phone numbers carry an area code with them. You have a temporary sign here on the plans mm-hmm. where there's no area code. And, you know, it just looks sort of amateurish to put a phone number in with no area code.
So the shopping center for lease, we didn't adjust that layout there, that's the temporary leasing sign. Right. Yeah, that was part of the original OSP.
But even temporary, yeah, I mean, I would like to see any signage that we have up here with area codes.
I think this one was made before 805 was not the only area code for our area.
Right.
So that I think, what did Travis say was the original date on this one?
Like early 2010s.
So that was before 805, before we had more than one area code in the area.
I'm sorry?
That was 805 used to be the only area code.
Not anymore.
Right, but this sign, that layout hasn't been updated since mm-hmm. then.
I guess I'm fine with it. I was looking at the I like the pole sign. I like the black and white and the letters to that. I think that's handsome. And I think I'm comfortable with the monument sign. I think, you know, at first I was thinking that it was a little large, but the reality is when you come up onto that site, you know, it's a lot of parking lot. So I think that's gonna help that a little bit, as well as you kind of don't know what, you're right, you kind of don't know what's in there without this. If you're, you know, you're familiar with the area, you know where you're looking, but if not, that I think that helps quite a bit. And I think with the depth of the signs, you're going to get shadow lines on this, and I think the aesthetic of that is going to tie into the big sign, and the, you know, the architecture is kind of sort of, you know, monolinear itself. So I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it. Those are my comments.
I have another question. For your monument sign,
Thank you. For the monument sign, do you have an exhibit that shows it in place and what might be around it? I know you have the drawings, but do you have any?
I have something I could show you to kind of demonstrate where this tape measure is right there. Would be the approximate placement.
Oh, okay. So it faces east-west? Or what?
It's going to be at a bit of an angle,
It's kind of an angle, yeah.
So yeah, if it's so it's on both sides?
No, because the back faces the parking lot.
So it's angled towards, this is Hollister here?
That's Hollister there.
So.
Yeah, it's up there. Can you zoom in on that on the screen?
So somebody traveling from the west will see the back of this.
No Zoom today. Celia, it's on.
Can you? Right.
Oh, there you go, right there, Cecilia. See?
Oh, I get it. Okay. Oh, it's okay.
So it's at an angle.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, good. All right. I need to get a sense of that. All right, thank you. Thanks for that.
Anybody else? Any other comments? Thanks.
Do a motion to approve the OSP with the findings, and I don't know if we have SEPA requirements as well?
They were. That's perfect.
I'll second that.
Seconded. Any discussion?
I'd like to compliment the presenter on a knowledgeable and thorough presentation.
You're here.
I would just like to say, having been on the Design Review Board when we saw this the last time in 2012, I just remember last time I thought, gee, it's awfully complicated and all this and all that and how you figure it out. And here I think you've done a good job of kind of cleaning it up and making it more understandable and straightforward, and I think with the standard that you're having is going to make it better. It's going to make it a little more modern feeling. Not quite. I think when it came before the board before, that was new to everybody. The OSP was like, "What's this? How do we do this?" And now that everybody's had a chance to work with them, that it's everything's been better codified in there. So thank you. So I support it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Then with that, can we get a roll call for the vote?
Member King.
Aye.
Member Iman has recused himself. Member Brown.
Aye.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
Vice Chair Whalen.
Yes.
Chair Branch.
Yep. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Before we go on, a question for staff, Ms. Chang. Is it necessary for Mr. Iman to exit the room, or can he just merely move away from the table into the audience?
He does need to exit.
He needs to exit. Thank you.
He can come back in now.
We gave him the high sign.
Thank you. All right. So... okay, item, our next item on our conceptual preliminary calendar, item C1, please.
Item C1, 301 Mentor Drive, APN 071-140-079, Google Generators and Improvements and California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption utilizing Section 15301.
Very good. And declarations, Jim?
No visitation.
No visitation, no ex parte.
I had no site visits since the other projects have been on the same road, and I did have a Zoom with the applicant.
I have visited the site and had no ex parte discussions on the project.
Mr. Whalen, I think you did have a Zoom with this project.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you did.
I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for the... I did have ex parte Zoom discussion.
You're on, Clarice.
No new site visit. I did visit the site before last time we saw it, and no ex parte.
No new site visit and no ex parte.
I did a site visit. I had a nice walk around the site. Security guard came out and wondered what I was doing there. I said, well, if you want your project approved, I need to be here. Anyway, and I did have, I believe, a telephone call. Something.
You did a Zoom.
Did I do a Zoom? No, it wasn't a Zoom. For some reason, I couldn't get on or something.
Oh, well, it was a Zoom, but you called in.
We did a phone call, right, which was just as good. Yeah, thank you. Anyway.
Okay.
Chair Branch, I'm going to be presenting this one today. Yes, Travis was on vacation, and I sort of got caught up with some the last-minute items on this project, so I'll go ahead and present.
Okay.
If you're ready.
Good. Floor is yours.
Great. So with the ever-changing innovations of Google, they're back here again with some site changes, and it's really largely because they're converting the first floor from office space to laboratory. So that has largely caused some of the exterior changes. The exterior changes include a new utility area with visual screening that will be presented, a new prefab workshop surrounded by security fence. There's going to be three new rooftop HVAC units that are not visible by from the public view, eight new backup generators on the south side of the existing building, and there's going to be removal of seven Melaleuca trees. I hope I'm saying that right. And previously we talked about them being tipu trees, but that's not correct, so they're Melaleucas. There will be some landscape presented for the replacement of these trees. And because I'm not going to go over those names. So this process requires a substantial conformity determination, which for the site alterations, we're only looking at the exterior. And I think probably the one item that is of interest is the new backup generators. Typically, outdoor equipment requires screening. In this case, they're looking at the generators as an aesthetic feature rather than, and screening is for aesthetics. So that's sort of going to be, you know, a discussion and your review and how you feel about that. Then there's also nine parking spaces being removed to accommodate the backup generators. And because they're changing from office space to laboratory space, there's going to be less of a parking requirement. So they're going to net still the required parking. So I think that's sort of an overview, and the applicant's architect wants to do a presentation, so he's going to be sharing screen and present to you.
Very good. Introduce yourself and...
he's going to share
screen. Show us.
Hi, how you doing?
I believe, Mark, are you sharing screen?
Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. Thanks, Mary. Thank you, first off, Chair Branch and the rest of the board. I tried to share. Oh, it is letting me now. I take it all back. It wasn't. So let me.
Okay.
There we go. Good. Okay.
Cool. So thank you. And thank you for allowing me to do this remote. I think my associate, Walter, is also in the audience there, probably across from you. And we also, in case any questions might come up about the particulars of the lab equipment, Kristen Story is also joining us that she can help. She's the technical architect on the project as well. I'm gonna take you through, this is the same information that's in the DRB submittal. It's just done in a little bit more friendly context as I'm presenting to you on screen. I'll try those quite quickly. We're going to first show you existing photos for those folks who didn't make it out to the site this time and haven't seen the evolution of the last work that we've been doing. We'll show you just a preliminary landscape plan, very preliminary, but starts to just let the board understand that there will be extensive landscape on the site as we improve it. Site plan that'll tell us a bit about where the scope is occurring. We'll go into a brief about the materials and then ultimately the views around the site. So as you are aware, where the work is being done around the property at 301 Mentor. I'm gonna put on my little laser thing here. For the sake of this, the project orientation north is to the right of these plans, just so we know. Those of you that have seen this project, we've submitted this actually two times before, once in 2019 for the original scope, and then again in 2021, most recently, for some secondary scope. The images I'm going to show you, just some shots around the project of previously approved items, starting with shot one. This is on the west side. This was a bike storage pavilion that we installed in our 21 approval. On the original approval in 19, this was a lab screen for a smaller lab pad that we had on the eastern side of the building. This is adjacent to the main entry for the Googlers. And as well, we had some additional equipment, in this case, that was installed along an existing tree canopy on the southern east portion of the property. Excuse me. Going a little bit further, this is the area a bit more in question. Shot one, just showing some of the shrubs that are the existing landscape that we plan to replace. Shot two is, we have a rendering that's this exact view, but this is from the southeast portion. Looking at the existing conditions, we have a series of jacaranda as well as I'm going to call them paper barks because I don't do so well when I try to say the Latin name. But there's some paper bark trees that are close to the building and some jacarandas that are a bit further out. This is a view dead on from the south elevation, which will be the location of the tool shed, the generators, and an entry gate, which I'll be showing you momentarily. This plan, very diagrammatic, but wanted to show it to you. This, the area shown here, designated by the red line, is the extent of the landscape that we do plan to update. The mature trees will stay intact, except for the seven trees noted with these X's. Mary talked about them previously, so those trees will be removed. What we do plan to do, as we are aware that we are removing trees, we want to help to replenish that which we take away. You can start to see along this zone, there's a along Mentor, there's a strip, and right now there's a series of eucalyptus trees. We plan to infill those. We're working with Arcadia as our landscape architect, and they're the landscape architect that's worked on the rest of the projects as well, the different phases. We're going to work with them to try to find between 12 and 13 trees to fit between the eucalyptus to therefore allow them a chance to mature and help to create a nice hedge against the building as well. So we'll get a natural screen before our scope of work. This is just a shot that shows this was the most recent plantings that came with phase two. The stuff that was approved in 21. So you can see this will be a very similar palette will be implemented along those shrubs that I showed you in the previous slide. So you can see these areas where we're pulling out these different planter beds, but you can assume that all of that will then infill these existing green areas around the zone as well. Again, this also shows you the existing trees, the paperbacks that will remain, as well as some of the large jacarandas out here. And then this is a series of eucalyptus, pretty sparsely planted right now. This is the area that we plan to come back with them. But we haven't decided. We're gonna work with Arcadia to come up with what they feel is the most appropriate tree to help infill the existing theme of the landscape around the property. This next slide is basically just to show you an enlargement of the two areas that we'll be talking about. The one area is to the west, which is a pretty decent sized laboratory pad, equipment pad, which we're going to propose surrounding it with a enclosure that both has some sound attenuation, but more importantly, at least for this project, a visual separation between the equipment and the area that's around it. To the south of the building, there's a series of eight generators as well as a tool storage jack and a controlled security gate to allow for entrance and exit of other equipment pieces. A little bit more of a closer, you can see the existing building. This is the new transformed, was ground floor. There's now a laboratory, was an office that Mary had spoke about before. This is the new lab equipment that will then accompany that work that's being done inside. And this is just a call showing the perimeter fence that will go around the equipment with the series of required doors for the equipment to get access to the different parts. To the other southern side, we've sort of split it into two pieces. This would be the eastern side of that, but there'll be, we're proposing eight generators, as well as the shop container that we talked about, and then this gated controlled access into an existing roll-up door to get in and out of the laboratory area. On the, excuse me, on the eastern side of that, I should say the last one was the western side. This eastern side is just complementary, more generator. The palette of materials, we're going to be pulling from some of the similar materials. We have used the perforated metal on some of the previous phases. In this case, we'll have some of it raw, but also we plan to have it powder coated, the Google blue paint or the Google yellow in this particular case. There's also a proprietary sound fence that goes around the building, and those will be, which I'll show you in the renderings, some of them will be in a milled finish, some will be in a polished finish. You can see this rendering. This is looking to the southern part of the building from the eastern side. You can see we are looking to actually let the generators just be exposed in this area. As you know, this is a Google project. There's a bit of play, as we sometimes do on our Google projects, to give a hint as to the mother company behind what's going on here at GQ. The blue also, though we're using the perforated metal to enclose the drop, we're having all of that painted to match. So there's a play on the blue and the yellow, which is this particular group's, GQ's group's. Those are their sort of primary colors that they use of the Google universe, if you will. This is, again, just another view, a little bit more close-up view. It should be noted that the generators themselves will sit on a an isolator pad. It's a raised concrete pad about 12 inches off the existing grade. And we are proposing bollards in front of the generator equipment, obviously, to protect them from motor vehicles, things of that nature. As another view, looking more now towards the east side, you can start to get a clear view of the more formal equipment surround. You'll notice that there are two tanks. One of them's nitrogen, I forgot the other gas off of hand. And then there's a couple of other pieces of cooling equipment that will extend beyond the top perimeter of the enclosure. The enclosure is at 12 feet high total. And just looking a little bit more at the detailing of the materiality, we're using these fins. We're calling them fins. They're this perforated metal that'll be the yellow Google color. And we're playing off of a polished aluminum so that there's a kind of reflection of nature that so you can start to see the surroundings through. The yellow is obviously still to draw attention to the structure so it doesn't get hit, but also to have a little bit of fun with the Google palette. As I mentioned before, the panels are at 12 feet total height. The operable doors will have a line at 9 feet to allow for those doors and entry to go inside of the space. And this is just an alternate view showing the length coming in from the parking on the eastern side. And that is it for the formal presentation, but would love to hear any comments.
Okay, great. Do you guys want to chime in or on anything that, that he didn't speak about, or?
Can you all hear me now?
Yeah, you don't have to hold it.
I want to expand on one of Mark's comments. The plantings that will go along the median there will also act as a barrier, visual barrier between Mentor as well as that east facade. So not only will you have the screening elements of the screen itself, but you'll have screening elements of the trees and those planted shrubs to create that screen as well. So there's a double screening kind of element going on there. That's really all I really wanted to add to it. Mark, have I forgotten anything?
No, I think, I mean, maybe just in general, and I think our friends on the board are aware of this, but just to keep in mind that Mentor itself is a private street, and that most, you know, this is a almost a beautiful, it's a beautification a little bit for the Googlers themselves to kind of have fun with some of these elements. So this isn't really a project that gets any view from, you know, the normal person moving through the city through regular public streets.
Mark, can I ask you to put the slide on that has from Mentor? That's probably the best one to leave it on.
Yeah, let me.
The elevation.
Would you like the elevation from the formal package or the view or the rendering?
Just
the rendering.
Yeah, rendering.
Okay.
Whatever the most visible for the public, that, that view.
Mm-hmm. That is just that's weird placement of clouds that looks like smoke coming out of the tanks, right?
Yeah, there's no smoke.
Yeah, not so thoughtfully done.
Okay, so questions, Cecilia?
Yeah. You know, the notion that this Mentor's a private street, I get it. But if you go over, if you're in the rear of the Cottage Hospital and you're standing there looking through the shrubs, this you're going to see all these this material, these lab stuff. It's not going to be out of the public's view. And even if you're on the other side, on the western side, there is a street that comes, I'm not really quite sure because I didn't take it, that comes down from St. Athanasius on that side. That's a public road. Is that a public road? And you can stand there and you see this building and you see what's happening at that building. So there are public elements to this building. It's not like it's just because it's surrounded by a private road that it's not in the public visibility or public realm. And as I mentioned to one of you on my phone call, there is going to be a project, county project, there at the southern end of St. Athanasius Church, which is going to be 400 units of something. So it is going to be more, there's going to be more public interest, if you will, more public viewing of what occurs here. I don't know. People are going to wander on the side. I'm not saying that, but it's just going to be, there's going to be a housing development in that area in some place. So while I think it's one thing to say that Mentor is a private street and this is sort of out of public view, it's not quite so out of the public view. It's, you know, I parked on the street. I don't know, I'm not quite sure where I parked. I parked and I just wandered around and I could have done that except it was on a Saturday and the guard came out. But anyway, I have another question on the eastern side of the building, the new lab equipment yard, and there's no structure behind, there's no structure there, just equipment that's exposed to the, could you perhaps explain?
You mean is there a roof above this?
Yes,
no.
There's not, so just.
It's open to the elements.
It's open to the elements.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. And the one it's at the southern end is around the blue screen. Is that open to the, that's enclosed?
Completely open to the elements.
It's just a partition around it.
It's a privacy screen, essentially. With
a privacy screen.
Gates.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's weird. Okay. So the other question I have is, on these storage tanks mm-hmm. of material. I think it's kind of an interesting element because they're circular. They're like big tubes next to a rectangular building. Just wondered, had you thought of playing off of that in any way? It's just like they're surrounded by this now more angular thing, and these round things.
Are you referring to like a color or?
No, just in form.
In shape?
The tanks.
We don't have a lot of options.
So.
No, I know. But in terms of the screen, it seems to me the screen has no relationship to either the building or the tanks.
Sure. Okay. I think I understand what you're saying. The screening element and the enclosure is basically the screening element in the enclosure is as small as we can get it on the site because we have restrictions for parking in that area. We're very tight in that area what we can do. So we've got those screens as close to the equipment as we can get and still have access to the equipment for maintenance and replacement or whatever needs to happen.
But you're still overparked, right?
We are overparked, but not that much.
Oh, so.
Wait.
Okay, I guess I just don't okay, that's fine, all right. Okay.
Well, I can talk to it better maybe in this slide here. So are you referring to the fact that it's very tight along here?
I just thought that it's interesting to me that you have these great big tube-like structures mm-hmm. And that you surround it with a screen that has no relationship to the forms of either the building or those tubes. And I just wondered.
Well, can I talk to that
yeah.
a moment?
Please do.
So, yeah. So a couple things I guess I would say about that. If you followed what we've done on phases one and two, almost intentionally, we've thought about each of these requests by Google, because we don't always know they're coming in, but when they call us up and say, hey, we need to put a lab pad over here. Hey, we need to put a security vestibule to get into the building. We've proposed to them, and what we've been showing to you all, is a almost intentionality about making each of these elements be unique and different from the building. This is actually out of intention, not to tie it into the building, but within our last phase, in fact, we requested to paint the building dark to sort of set it as a backdrop to allow for each of these new pieces of program to kind of sit as almost a series of own individual little buildings that surround the, for lack of a better term, the mothership, if you will, or the main lab. So it's almost by intention, whether it's subjectively liked or not, that we are trying not to emulate the existing building. That's what I'm talking about as we're designing each of these enclosures. I think the other, to address your comment about the tanks themselves, as you know, obviously none of us have any control of what the tanks are. They're based on the size and making them. However, we had to pick, well, we decided for practicality's sake and also to allow for window visibility from the second floor, things of that nature. We tried to pick a datum that we thought was most appropriate to, number one, shield, I'm roughly saying about, 85% of the equipment. And also that this isn't required. We're not near the property line, but we also are using a company that this has a sound attenuation about these panels. The panels and the way that they're made, also the way that they're structurally sound, and they're, these are gonna have deepened footings that are gonna hold these up, make sure that they're structural and they can't fall on anybody or anything. They're sort of set in this. And so what the liberties that we took are sort of the plane of the materiality, the sort of the shiny and the dull and the yellow color, and kind of almost letting it just be an element of amongst itself. And the idea is that that would draw the most attention and you would almost not notice. And it's, I'm not trying to pretend that you don't notice these two giant tanks behind, but if you bring enough attention to what's in the forefront, that the equipment beyond is not what you're noticing as a passerby or as a Googler all day. I will say, again, Kristen's the architect on this, who's I believe is in the chambers with you. But we are hoping somewhere outside there that there might be a possibility that we might be able to do vinyl wraps or something on these tanks. I cannot propose that to you today because we just don't know who we're getting the tanks from and whether that will be allowed or not. But we do have a sort of outside hope that we might be able to come back to you guys with maybe a fun idea of how those might be able to be wrapped. But please don't take that. We don't know yet. So I don't want to say that we can, but that is something, you know, we're obviously acutely aware of all of this equipment and you know, want to do our best to not try to pretend it's not there, but be respectful about, you know, that it needs to be there. It needs to work properly, but maybe we could even have some fun with it.
Okay, great. Anything else, Cecilia? Okay. Jonathan, you want to chime in on anything?
No comments or questions.
All right. Karis?
Yeah, okay. I'm starting to understand the coloring of the buildings. What are these yellow? They look like pieces of paper that are kind of sticking out from the, is that what they are? Seems like
so the material, so.
Or are they just cut into and then you're putting shadow lines on it?
So what they are is, I guess it's hard to tell from these renderings, but if we, I'm gonna, it's sheet metal. Just so you know, the actual, what it's made out of is sheet metal. And I'm gonna try to find.
Will it stand out from the,
it will,
from the slightly, mirror part?
It will slightly. And I'm gonna, let me see if you guys tell me, can you see back here on number two, there's these perforated metal panels that are folded.
Yep.
You see how they come out past the equipment pad as well. There's a dimensionality about them. So on the front part, so this was something that we, you know, proposed to you and it was proofs a few years ago. This is back in 19. What we're doing on the front side, because the cars are actually closer, we wanted to play off the same idea. What I could tell you is that this folding plane and this idea about this, the bent metal and the perforated panels, this is something that's also going on the interior design. Not that you all care about that, but it's an ongoing sort of conceptual idea that moves through a lot of the project. So for the tenants, for the, you know, and Google that owns the building as well, it means something to them and it's a sort of signifier that it's theirs. And then it's a way to still, you know, bring in the yellow color that's back here on the bike storage and from these other parts. So it's sort of a connective way of bringing all the pieces together, but a new way that's sort of emblematic of this new piece, but still recalls the other things that we've done along the site.
Would it be fair to say that the, can you go back to the slide with the yellow panels on it?
Yeah, just give me one sec.
Would it be fair to say that each strip there is either recessed or proud of, or both, of the adjacent either polished or matte panel, and that perforation, perforated metal is what is yellow?
That yes, except there's no, it won't be recessed, it'll only be flush or proud.
Okay.
So when it looks like it's recessed, it's actually the mirror reflection of the back side of the panel. That's where it's folded out, and then you're seeing it mirror, and this is sort of a game we're playing off the reflection. And then it's pretty much flat along this portion, and then out here it curves out again, and then again you're seeing the mirrored reflection back, and that's what looks like it has a depth to it as well.
Got it.
Yeah.
Scott, while you're on this, can I just ask a question about this? You know, you show here with mirrored panels what looks like adjacent ag land. Well, as you know, it's not. I mean, that's just someone's imagination. And what you really see is cottage hospital next door, I'm thinking. I don't know what you
see. Well, what you probably see is trees.
Well, you'll see cars.
You see trees, you see cars.
You see cars.
But it's not
trees.
Some idyllic view of ag land. So I think that's, I don't know, leads you down a wrong path to think that. But my question is, why would you have mirrored panels? What is the aesthetic? for that. I don't get how it connects to what, particularly what you have on the western side with that nice in number two, the bent panels on the blue screen. Explain that.
Though you're right, it's not beautiful ag land. There's a sort of a game of, it's almost like a visual game that causes intrigue to like what's going on. The same way one of the speakers asked, what are those materials? Are they recessed? Are they coming out? It's really just to create a sort of provocative existence instead of, it's really to kind of be thoughtful about it and make you think about it as you're going around it. It's almost, think of it as an art installation more than just a piece of architecture. You know, we could have done something that blended into the building. We could have proposed something charcoal gray and put greenery around it or something of that nature. But with the group, our clients in here, the Googlers that are in here, these are all scientists with ginormous brains that come from UC Santa Barbara working on crazy scientific things. And we sort of felt that it was our obligation to maybe play with them a little bit, challenge them about the stuff that we do, which is the architecture and the design. And they've, so far, all the different installations that we've done, they enjoy that.
My only other question, comment then about this same view here is that on the other side, you have bollards to protect from vehicular traffic running into it. These columns of gases seem more likely to be endangered by a vehicle accidentally and or not running into it. Are these somehow reinforced like a bollard? And we're just not seeing the bollards, but they're in there?
Yeah. So I can say a couple things. Sure. I could say a couple things about that. I'll go to the other slide. As far as the panels themselves, what you're not seeing is these are held up by 4x4 HSS posts that are embedded into foundations that are going to go down probably about 8 to 10 feet. If you crash in, you're gonna have a hard time getting through this wall. The yellow, and there's also a curb that comes out 12 inches from where the wall is acting as, you know, the first preventative. Someone just backs up or, you know, makes
right.
Rather than giving them bollards to bang into, because we know the protection of the screen itself will take care of that, there is a pronounced curb that you may hit. On the other side, because we have no fence, the bollards are there because that is the protection of the equipment, right? So I'm going to come back over here. That's the first line of defense as the equipment comes pretty much predominantly out to it. And, you know, these are generators that are filled with fuel and quite, you know, I think a lot of those, I honestly don't even know half of what that is. That's more of a Kristen question on around the other side, but I can tell you that running into a generator.
Got it. Okay. Does that answer your question, Karis?
Yep. I was just making sure that you've, I mean, it seems like you thought it through quite carefully that it cannot be used in an inappropriate manner.
Okay.
Sorry.
Dennis?
Thank you, Chair Branch, for questions. As long as we're here on this slide, a couple of questions. Are these backup generators?
Mm-hmm. Kristen?
Mark, do you want me to answer that?
Yes,
they are backup generators.
So is there, with that in mind, is there a programmatic need for them to be immediately adjacent to the building on the site?
Yes and no. They have to be connected electrically to the building, and the farther away they are, the more expensive it is. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to have them in line from the transformer, you know, to the generator, into the building where, to the equipment that they're serving.
Okay. I'll take that as a yes and a no answer.
We've
heard about the other screening, but not about the screening of this tool shed. Can you tell us a bit more about its composition, material, et cetera?
Yeah. So this would be, it's going to be corrugated and perforated steel. So corrugated steel, for those who don't know what that means. Corrugated steel is essentially the shape of the steel, you know, where it undulates. And it's basically replicating the containers that are sitting right next to them. But this will be perforated in that you can see through it and air flows through it, very similar to the original lab equipment. And then, of course, it's painted blue because it's the latest iteration. And we thought that the enclosure is part of the tool sheds and wanted to make them all one color.
And what's the height, please? It looks like about 8 feet.
Yeah, so your standard container is 8 feet. It's on a 12-inch curb, so the total height next to it will be 9 feet.
All right, let's see. I think those are all of my questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Jim?
Yes, I do. Thank you. On the east facade, the view to the south, those two towers there, are those cooling towers? What are they?
They're not cooling towers. One is liquid helium and one is liquid nitrogen.
So
they're tanks.
I'm sorry?
They're tanks.
Storage.
They're tanks. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah. Thank you.
Liquefied gas.
Any comments on the project in general? No? Dennis?
Sure, I'll come back.
We'll go back the other way.
In general, Google is popping out all over this building, and I wonder what the next expansion is going to be. And in that same vein, you went to the trouble of painting the building dark, but now you're experimenting with color and different types of screening and fencing. Seems to me the paint job, the dark paint job on the building was meant to unify the building, and these expressions about fencing are getting farther and farther away from that original intention. And I find that jarring. I think we accepted the color of the bike storage locker originally. I now find that, well, it's sitting off in the landscape as an object, almost sculptural objects. I find that a bit jarring in the color itself. And I find the colors on the screening and the generators, again, to be jarring rather than unifying and blending in with the building. And then along with that same idea, the original screening, the horizontal folding, is quite inventive and beautiful, and I just don't understand and don't quite get, if you will, why these other disparate methods of screening, it looks rather random and piecemeal rather than having a unified vision for the building. In general, there's this disparity of ideas in materiality and expression and color. I think those are all, that's my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Karis, any comments?
I hear what you're saying, Dennis, and I have this thing in Ontario. They have this idea of you have all these different things, and they have a relationship just purely by their proximity to each other. And that's what seems like what's happening here. It's like everything about it is trying to be different, but the only relationship that draws them all together is that they're really close to each other. And then it ends up, that's the unifying factor. So I think it's interesting. I don't know. I think it is jarring, but I think it maybe is meant to be, like it's meant to like grab your eye and say, look at this, as opposed to the building, which is trying to say, don't look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but it seems that that's working, and it's what they're looking to do.
Okay.
So,
Jonathan?
I just think in 25 years, people will be saying they tried too hard, but it's not my project to, it's not my aesthetic taste to impose on a project, but a little bit. It seems like there's an opportunity here to experiment with a lot of kind of interesting and innovative things, but they're not very well integrated, and I wonder if a future DRB will be looking at redos of a lot of these elements in a couple of decades.
Cecilia?
Thank you. First of all, I appreciate the fact that you're going to, you're taking out 7 trees, which are probably not weren't the right trees to plant in the first place, and replacing them with some additional trees. I totally agree with what Dennis has to say. I just feel that there's too many different kinds of elements here, where you already have an interesting element, that's that horizontal screen on the west side. In dark, and I think that having different kinds of screens, maybe not certainly ones that is reflective, I don't get that, could work. I liked how the description of the one of the screening on the south of the metal with the holes, I thought that might be good. Painted black, I think it'd look really cool. But there's just too many different elements. You know, maybe if all of you have those generators, the green generators there on the southwest, right? So there's another color element that's now part of this, and yet we've got the yellow and the blue. I think you could do one color, but not both. I don't know why you already have the yellow bicycle storage. I don't know why you have to have yellow and blue at the south. I'm not getting why you need to do that. It seems to me that the entrance where everybody goes in and out of the building is there in the west next to that screen, right? I don't know that people come around here. I'm not sure who's going to see this. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it has any relationship to the building, the yellow. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So I think about Google. Oh, my God. Google's in our life every day. Every turn on my computer, there's Google, right? So it's a big company. I understand the playfulness aspect of what you're trying to achieve here, but I don't think you quite got it. This screen, the one up here, just doesn't work for me. Actually, I just like those two big storage containers. I think those are kind of interesting. Paint them black, match the building, a little different form. My concern is here that last time you did one thing, you had those green containers, you had the yellow bike thing, here you have this one, and the next time you're going to come back with other different types of things will have no relationship to anything. And I think that you'd want to have things that are more connected together, particularly with, I like the black building. I don't know why I like that black building so much, but I do. Anyway, so I agree with Dennis. You didn't ask me to design the project, Google did. And it's interesting, when you talk about Google's presence, they have a little tiny sign at their entrance, Google AI Quantum, and it's yellow and blue, and that's it. That's all they've got for yellow and blue. And I think maybe that's appropriate. It's very subdued, what you want here is, the way I look at it, is you want something that's elegant. The black is kind of a dark charcoal gray of the building, to me, is kind of elegant. And that folded screen on the west is just really a nice touch. It's like you're going to a formal dinner where everybody's in black, you know? And then there's this one person who shows up in blue and yellow. Oh, my God, who is this person? A party crasher. So I agree with Dennis. This just doesn't work for me. And maybe if the screening on the east was something more in character with what you want to do on the south and what is occurring on the west, that could work. If the containers were all one color instead of two colors, that might work better. It'd be kind of match the green. I don't know, it'd be green. You don't have green in some other color. They're all green. So that's okay. Where I'm coming from.
Jonathan?
Yes, just a question, I guess. I'm recalling my experience walking past some highly reflective windows and being absolutely stunned at the amount of heat that's coming off of them. And I'm wondering if that has been thought about in terms of these reflective panels. They'll be bouncing an awful lot of energy onto the cars that are parked away from them. I'm not sure where the sun is going to be relative to them, but reflectivity is a nice feature, but it could cause some problems in terms of pretty intense heat exposure to anything that's...
I think based on its layout, you get morning and early afternoon, and then the building shields it. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's correct.
So, just a question.
I'll jump in. I don't necessarily agree with my colleagues. I think contradiction can be a form. I think if this building were a song and these elements you're providing were the bridge, they'd be in a different key, but it's still part of the same song. I don't know why it works for me, but it does. And maybe it's because the building itself is dark. And I think it's, I will say that I think it's a bold experiment. Will this stand the test of time? I don't know. That remains to be seen. This could be timeless, or it could be a turquoise Cocopelli from the 80s. We don't know. I mean, that's time will tell us. But I think it's a bold experiment that I think works. And I'm okay with it. I go back to the one thing that I did say to you guys when we Zoomed was that, it would really, it would almost be worth rethinking at least this view and what you have here. It would be worth rethinking that if you're going to get stuck with tanks, white, bright white tanks with blue lettering on them, which is normally what you get when you get tanks like that. So I would caution you to, I know you're in the process of solving that, but I think that would blow that whole view right there if you had those tanks doing that, because what you've got here, I don't know, it that's a melody that works for me, and I can get behind it, but it's pretty delicate to the point of those tanks, the white with blue lettering on those tanks would blow it. Conversely, if you had just a gray perforated fence like you had on the other side, white tanks with blue letters, somehow my brain can accept that. I mean, this is too delicate a balance to risk that, in my humble opinion. So that's my two cents. Any other comments?
So let me just ask you, Scott. The mirrored panels is a foreign element. I don't think in any buildings or architecture, and I think of in Goleta, do we have mirrored panels surrounding things. I think it's a very foreign, kind of strange, and I just don't. I don't mind the other panels. I'm just wondering if there couldn't be some rethought about these mirrored ones.
If you were to ask me about this without showing it to me,
yeah.
If you were to describe this to me, I would say, hell no, you're out of your mind. But somehow that aesthetic works for me, and it's hard to put words to it, but.
Okay. It has a certain rhythm to it.
Yeah, there's something about that works.
Dun, dun, dun. Boom,
it's
boom,
odd,
boom.
It's weird, and, when they put a glass pyramid at the Louvre, everybody went, what are you talking about? And now it works, right? I mean, this isn't the Louvre, sorry. but I think the point is valid. I don't know, for my way of looking at it. That's just my two cents.
And I remember when you guys came in 2019, we said, why don't you guys do something like art? Like, why don't you, think about how you could make it a piece of art and stuff. And so I think this is the answer to that request. I think that was me again, the lady who shows up at the party with the big dress.
I do want to commend the design team of Schubert Donaldson. It is a very high quality design with an excellent presentation.
Chair Branch, do you want to do public comments and then I can maybe give some guidance on next steps?
Yes, I just wanted to see, anybody else have anything else to say? All right, nobody here for speaker slips, but any hands raised online?
If there are any members of the public who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. And I am not seeing any hands raised at this time.
Okay, and then what else, you wanted to say something?
I was just listening to the board deliberation there, comments, and it doesn't sound like you're in a place to make a motion today, unless you want to do a poll on that.
You want to do a straw vote? Can we do a straw vote on it?
I think the straw vote would be as presented or a no, whereas if you want to ask the applicant, they want to have an opportunity to come back to you, sort of pull in all the different comments, and I mean, you can give the applicant that choice,
okay.
I suppose.
Then I guess that's what she said.
Do they need to come back again? Mm-hmm. Is this one of those ones that we're going to come back?
Well, today, I think the applicant was hoping to get a green light, and then they would have to come back for final with details like landscape, plant palette, and things like that.
So
To the director for the substantial conformity determination, yeah.
Right. But we have to, we need to vote today if they come
right.
back.
You
right?
have to, if this design fails, then they have to come back anyway. Or you give them an opportunity to kind of consolidate and regroup and bring back something that may be,
okay.
you know.
But they do have to come back.
They do have to come back, but I think the whole.
So can we take a vote? If it's a no, they can come back with something else.
Yeah, you can, or you can ask the applicant if they just want to continue this item to address your comments.
Okay. Well, what do you guys think?
Is there a difference in?
I'm not sure.
What's the difference, Mary? I guess
there is no difference in except that you. May get a no vote, so.
But if they get a no vote, they can come back, schedule to come back. That doesn't kill their application or anything, right?
No, the only advantage of continuing this is we can continue it date certain in 2 weeks. If you vote no, we have to re-notice, and it'll be a later date. So
got it.
Just so you
know. I would love a continuance.
Got it. Okay. Do you guys want to continue? You kind of got a little.
Mark, do you have a preference?
I would much rather take a continuance than
yeah.
a no vote.
So if that's, and then they would continue with the comments that received today and come back and take another stab at it. So if you can make a motion to continue to April 11th, that's
okay.
Yep.
Then
I'll make a motion that
okay.
the proponents continue the item and return to the board. Consider unifying the design elements that are proposed, the screens, their shapes, the disposition of the materials and the colors.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? All right, can we get a roll call?
Member King?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Brown? Member Clinton?
Yeah.
Yes. Vice Chair Whalen?
You're done.
I can't equate that, yeah, but yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes.
You can say no.
You don't want to continue it? You would vote against continuing it?
Well, I would have voted for it.
I
don't know how to say that.
I would. Well, you can't.
That
wasn't the motion, so. Okay, so it's continued to date certain to the next meeting. Can we do that?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not gonna share that one but yourself.
Okay, thank you guys.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. I know you guys are all sensitive about design issues, right?
They are.
All right. So.
Thank you.
All right. I got that. Thank you very much.
Did you do all this?
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, this now to item D, announcements by members and staff. Staff, anything?
I think we are still backed up with some minutes that we were going to try to catch up soon. So
okay.
Just wanted.
Well, we had one today.
Yes, you did.
So good on you. Anybody?
Yes, I have one small comment for staff consideration. Ms. Chang, if you could include the proponent or the presenter on our agenda so that we have their names in front of us, because very often I don't catch the names.
Yeah.
That would be very helpful.
That is difficult to do because a lot of times we don't know who they are until the day before or the week before, and the agendas are put out earlier.
Even if it had the architect's name or the designer's name, just...
We do have it in the staff report. Are you who the project is filed by? Like, for instance, the first item was Agent Dan Morris on behalf of John Price.
Perhaps I rely too much on the agenda material.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree with that, and I don't understand why we can't get their names before. I mean, if they're going to make a presentation here, we should have names. And if they're not, and if they're not going to wind up speaking here, then somebody is substituting for them, and we should have that person's name.
Oftentimes, that decision is not known until they arrive at the meeting.
People get sick.
And we do.
Again,
we do,
I would say that if they're coming to this meeting, we should know ahead of time who the people are.
I mean, you know who the applicant is, but somebody from their office can decide I'm presenting, and I'll.
Yeah,
so and you don't know.
And again, I would say if somebody decides at the last minute, we should still know what their name is before they sit down here.
Well, but that wouldn't be able to be on the printed agenda that went out to everybody, is all
I'm saying. Just to make clear that the staff report does list who the applicant is and who the agent is. So we do put that in the staff report because that's how they filed the application. Who shows up, you know, they have team members, a landscaper or, you know, engineer.
Yeah.
It depends on who's available. So, but we could probably maybe when they show up at least have something available for the board and also for our clerk too, for name and who they represent.
As a footnote, it was very helpful when Mr. Hirschman showed up electronically, had his name right under his picture.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Yes.
That was helpful. Okay, well, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.